Hear the word of God, as it is written in the second letter of the Apostle Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them, and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God.
It's an amazing book of 2 Peter that Don read to us. We're in chapter 1, 2 Peter, we're in chapter 1, and this morning we're going to cover verse 15 to verse 18. So now I'm going to pray first. Lord, what an amazing reminder that was to us, that one day you are coming back. And as we learn today from the Word of God, I ask you please, Lord, take away all those distracting thoughts. Help us to listen to what you are going to say to us. Help us to be willing to put it into practice. Help us, Lord, to see that you don't just want information, but a transformed life, so that when the roll is called up yonder one day, I'll be there. Oh God, may that be true for everyone in this building this morning. Amen. Now friends, you all remember that this little book of 2 Peter has got one great objective, and that's what we have been seeing in all our services during this month. It was written to help, encourage, establish, and strengthen the Christians in the first century. You have heard many sermons on how those early Christians went through incredibly difficult times, worse than you and I will probably ever have to go through. And this letter is written to establish them. Peter wants them to have certainty, so that whatever may happen outside, or whatever may happen inside, they will be unaffected and strong. And that's what we have been doing here on Sunday. That's been my prayer. We are going verse by verse through this book. It's a powerful book for today, and its purpose is to establish you, so that no matter what happens in 2009, no matter what happens in our country, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens inside, you will be strong. Because when you're walking with God and your eyes upon Him, you are strong. Now what you're going to do today is is so important. The smalling Peter, as he moves on in this letter, is going to focus on the teaching of the second coming of Christ. And we don't often focus on that. And I'm going to share that with you this morning. And then what we're going to do tonight, I really hope you can come. Because he will finish off chapter 1 by showing us how the Bible was written. You see, why do we believe the Bible? Many people question it today. Many people say it's not relevant for today. That will be answered as he describes. So today, this morning, the second coming of Jesus. Then tonight, how the Word of God was inspired. My friends, never, ever, ever forget. May rule your thinking, your praying, your giving, your priorities, that one day Jesus Christ is going to return. That's the clear, clear, clear teaching of Scripture. There's a day when Christ is going to return. The question is, how is he going to return? What is to be the nature of his coming? The Word of God tells us, first of all, that it is going to be glorious. It's going to be a glorious coming. It says in Matthew 20 and verse 30 that he's coming in power and great glory. And in Revelation 1:7, it tells us that every eye is going to see him. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? So you and I here in Vinetown, we're going to see Christ. The people right across the world, in America or right over there in Tibet or in Nepal or Afghanistan or Iraq or up there and wherever. When Jesus comes back to this world, every eye is going to see him. It's going to be glorious, my friends. The first advent of Jesus took place in obscurity and weakness, seeming to cause hardly a ripple on the surface of human history, born in a stable. But it's not going to be like when he comes back. The king is to return gloriously. Second, it's going to be decisive. You see, 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, then the end is going to come. It's going to be decisive. And friends, I don't know whether you've ever thought about this. History will come to an end. The curtain is going to fall on the stage of time. It will therefore be an event in the history of our world that is never, ever, ever can be compared to any other one. And it's not confined to the church. Everything is finished. No more planes, no more trains, no more cars, no more going to work. No more school. Some of you say, that's great. But you see, it's going to be decisive. When Jesus comes back, that's it. The end has come for our world. There's nothing more after Christ returns. But not only that, it's going to be very sudden. Remember, Jesus said that the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And the Bible clearly speaks over and over again about the unexpectedness of Christ's return. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 1 to 6. The thing I want you to remember, my friends, Jesus is coming. Christ is going to return to planet Earth. When? We don't know. But he is coming. The urgency, therefore, is make sure that you are ready. Please make sure you are ready when he comes. Secondly, what What's his purpose? Why is he going to return? What does the Bible tell us? Why? Why does he need to come back again? Well, the first reason is to complete the work of redemption. To complete it. You see, it's wonderful this morning for many of us in this church to be able to say that we've become Christians. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been justified by grace and we are going home. It's terrific. When we die, our souls are going to go to heaven. It's a wonderful thing there. But our bodies haven't been redeemed. You're still getting older. And you're going to die unless Christ comes. You see, our bodies have not yet been redeemed. God's enemies, sin, death, Satan, are still with us. But not for long. Those will only be here until the coming of Christ. And the moment Jesus returns, they will be removed from God's world, and a brand new order will be established, in which God's original purposes for mankind and for creation will find their final realization. It's the most amazing thought. He's going to complete the work of redemption. Secondly, when he comes, happening concurrently with that will be the resurrection of the dead. Listen to what Jesus said in John 5 and verse 28. All who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to life. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Let me remind you, friends, please, let me remind you. Every single man and woman, from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, who has died, is going to rise from the dead. Everyone. Christ returns. The resurrection of the dead. Those cremated, their bodies will come back together. Those buried at sea, those who have bombed to pieces during the war, their bodies will come back together. That's what the Bible says. There will be the resurrection of the dead. Every single man, every single woman. You know, friends, you'll be there. And I'll be there. We'll stand before Jesus Christ. And that ushers in, number three, the final day of judgment. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, Christ will judge the living and the dead. So Jesus has returned. The great resurrection has happened. Everybody is standing before him. And then the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is going to judge every man and every woman. Listen to what John wrote. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. I saw the dead, the small, the great, all standing before him. And then the books were opened, and another book was opened. This book is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, everyone according to his works. And then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, How can I say that with more meaning and grace and love for you than that? I want to tell you with all my heart, the day is coming when Jesus is going to come. The resurrection of the dead is going to happen. Christ is going to judge. And the books are going to be opened. And every person's name that is not found in that book is going to go to hell. So the question is, how do I get my name in that book? It's the most important thing in your life. It was more than anything, to make sure that you have repented of your sin, as the forbearance vowed this morning. Do you know God is your Father, the Lord Jesus is your personal Savior and Lord, and the Spirit is your comfort, and each one said, yes, I do. What they were saying is, there's come a time in my life when I gave my life to Christ. And the moment you were born again, your name was put in the book. Isn't that wonderful? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, that's what we sang. Hazel and I chose it for us. Why? When the roll is called, I'll be there. Oh, my friends, is your name in the book? Is your name written in the book? When Jesus Christ comes, are you ready? That's the challenge that Peter is giving us here. But that's not all. The fourth reason why he's coming is to deliver the church. The church through the centuries has always had tremendous opposition. You've heard it before, haven't you? That more Christians were killed in the last century than all the other centuries put together. Persecution is enormous. It's massive. It's huge. Opposition to the gospel is big. There are many countries around the world where you are forbidden by law to take a Bible or to tell people about Christ. But let me remind you, one day, Jesus is coming. When Jesus Christ comes, he will deliver his church. He will deliver his people from their enemies. And then he will gather to himself his elect from all the ages. And 1 Thessalonians 4:17 tells us that. And when he does that, and Jesus Christ gathers his people, on the final day, people from every country, and every nation, and every tribe, and every people, and every culture, there will be some from everyone, and we will gather before Christ. Their names are in the book, and there will be such a great host that no one will ever be able to number them. What a day. Today they oppose the Bible. Today they criticize the Bible. But one day, Jesus is coming. And Peter says, don't ever forget that. He's coming to complete the work of redemption. He's coming to resurrect the dead. He's coming to judge all people. He's coming then to deliver the church, and he will take his people, the church, to be with him forever. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We're here for a very short time, and then we're going to heaven. These are critical. That's how you live. I'm determining what's important in life. The second coming of Christ helps me to determine my priorities. My priorities are to make sure that I'm walking with Christ. How do I spend my money? I want to spend my money in such a way that as much as I can is given to bringing this great gospel message to a lost world. How do I spend my time? What books do I read? What things do I watch? How do I allocate time for prayer and daily Bible reading? It's the second coming of Jesus Christ that sits there before me and says, Warwick, Christ is coming. You must be ready. must be ready. Don't be embarrassed when he returns. That's what Peter is saying. But the question is, on what authority does he base this? How do we know this is all true? Listen to what he says. Listen carefully, see? We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See what Peter is saying? This is not some story I made up. This is not some cleverly invented idea, what Peter is saying. He says, no. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We heard this voice that came from heaven, and we were with him on that sacred mountain. So what Peter is saying is, don't doubt this. Don't question this. Don't let people shake you. Don't be moved. We can tell you it's true. We can tell you it's certain because we were with him. We were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We were there. We heard God speak. We saw Jesus transfigured. We were there. And on that fact, and on that experience, we want to tell you, don't doubt that he's coming back. He bases his right to teach this great doctrine on what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. So my friends, our faith rests not upon feeling, but upon facts, which is borne out by the apostles. And what Peter then does is he says, now let me go one step further. Why do you believe this book? So we're going to touch on tonight, because these men wrote as they were carried along by the Spirit. Don't ever doubt that one day Christ Jesus is coming. Martin Lloyd Jones is a very godly man, one of arguably the greatest preacher of the last century. He wrote these words. He says, don't apologize for the faith. Don't reduce the faith. Let us make this miraculous claim. Don't offer a restricted Jesus with noble ideas and exalted teaching. Make the full New Testament claim for him. Fasten everything upon the apostolic witness and testimony, upon the evidence of the men who were with him on that mountain, who heard the voice from heaven say, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So friends, when you go home now, go to your office tomorrow morning, and for the rest of the life, your life, however long that may be, I want you to remember, Christ is coming. And you and I are going to stand before him. Your life is going to be judged, and your life is going to be evaluated. The question is, what will Jesus say? What will he say? Oh, that you and me will be able to hear Jesus say, well done. Well done. You are a good and a faithful servant. Come. Come and inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you. Well done. Sadly, my friends, to others, Jesus will say to them, get away. I don't know you. And they will say to him, but Lord, We prophesied in your name. We preached in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name. I don't know you. Oh, I hope and pray that no one may hear Jesus say that. So the question is a challenge today, friends. Let's make sure that we are right with Jesus, that you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and that you are living your life in the light of His return, living every moment of every day for Christ. Well done. Well done. Let's pray. Just for a moment, it's always good just to reflect and to think before we rush back into life. Maybe we just want to pause and give you time to just respond to Jesus in your own heart. Maybe this year you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to readjust my priorities. Maybe you've just been letting it all slip. And you want to come back again. You want that fire to burn again like it used to. Maybe you've never yet come, and this morning God brought you to us, our fellowship. You want to get right with Jesus. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we bow before you this morning, we are so aware that you are an omniscient God. You know everything. You know our thoughts, you know our words, you know our deeds. You know the beginning from the end. We can hide nothing from you. But, oh God, when the road is called up yonder, we want to be there. Help us as we go from this place to now live in the light of what Peter has reminded us, that Christ is to return. Help us not to be half-hearted or cold or lost, but living each day for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen.